very special lady joins us on the line. A Hollywood legend. Her name is Tippi Hedren. Hi, Tippi. How are you?
Well, I've got a sore throat and a summer cold, so other than that, I'm fine.
Nice to have you on the program with us to talk with us this evening.
Oh, thank you, Piers. Nice of you to invite me.
790-0991 Star Talk 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800. I understand. Is it November? You're getting a star?
Oh, we've changed it to January sometime. Yes, isn't that fun?
You're getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I am.
Long overdue.
Well, thank you very much. And we changed the date because my daughter is going to be in Australia in November, and I wanted her to be there.
And your daughter being Melanie Griffith?
Yes.
Yeah, so it must be quite an honor for you to get a star in
the Walk of Fame. Well, of course it is. Of course it is.
Now, do you know the exact location of your star?
Oh, not yet. I don't. And I don't know whether there's a choice. But the place that I would love to have had it was on La Brea and Hollywood Boulevard. There's one little tiny area that there's only like two stars.
And then why do you want yours there?
Because it's just kind of, excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
It's just kind of a very exclusive little place, and I just rather liked it there. However, I don't think it's going to be possible.
Okay. Now, as we've been saying earlier, people know your work from primarily one of the things, I guess your big film, the 1963 movie The Birds, which was directed by Alfred Hitchcock. I've often wondered, because, you know, you have the script in your hand and you're working on the set and you know exactly what the story is all about. But do you envision, as an actress, when you're working on something like that, guess what it's going to turn out like? Like, do you get scared, or did you get scared when you first saw The Birds?
No, I didn't, because I've always been an animal lover, and I'm a bird lover as well. So it was exciting for me. I loved all of that. But as far as being frightened on the set...
No, I don't mean on the set, because you knew what was going on the set. But when you watch the movie, you know, having done the film...
Uh-huh.
Even though you know how everything happened in the film.
Oh yeah. Oh sure. Oh sure. You know it. And that's part of what is so exciting about being an actress and being in films and that sort of thing is you can actually see the effect that you have, that the whole production has and that you have. There's a great story about Janet Leigh and you know how she's. Won't take a shower anymore.
Yes.
And she said, I wasn't afraid until I saw the movie.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't afraid while we were filming it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is basically the way it's done, because when you're acting, it's all done in very short clips, a lot of them, depending on the length of the scene, of course, but it isn't really, and much of it is close-up action or whatever, so you don't really get the... you know, the effect of it until it's all edited together and the sound is put together and the music and all the components that make it suspenseful or fearful or whatever it is. But it's always fun and it's always exciting and if you're lucky enough to have a really good happy set, it is truly a divine career.
Is it a happy set working on a Hitchcock film? You did two of them.
Yes, I did. Most of the time, it was really quite incredibly wonderful,
mm-hmm.
because it was working with Hitchcock, who was of course a genius, and the best in suspense, building suspense, and just watching the way he worked and was a thrill. He directed very well. I don't know if he directed me differently, because of The Birds was my first movie, and so he was not only my director, he was my drama coach.
Yeah,
fabulous.
Alfred Hitchcock is notorious, at least by quotes, for saying some rather nasty things about actors, but
are you talking about that actors should be treated as cattle, they are cattle or something?
But there's not a bad quote. There are great quotes about you, Tippi Hedren, coming from Hitchcock.
Oh, that's lucky. But
he seems to really like you a lot as an actress.
Well, I am very grateful for that. But as far as him saying, you know, that actors should be treated like cattle or whatever, most of his best friends were actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jimmy Stewart and Cary Grant and Ingrid Bergman, Grace Kelly, so many of them.
We're talking with actress Tippi Hedren here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800. You, as you mentioned, The Birds was your first film. And you're working with an Oscar-winning director who is notorious for the way he works with actors. Was that intimidating for you, being on that set as your first film? Or did you have the blissfulness of film ignorance at that time?
I don't know whether it was film ignorance. It was certainly a tremendous amount of responsibility. And the fact that Hitch gave me the security that I would be able to do this. And if he hadn't done that, I don't think I ever could have done it. Because it was a tremendous role to take on as a first performance. And I was very fortunate, too, because Susie Plouchette was fabulous. Rod Taylor was wonderful. And, of course, the incredible Jessica Tandy.
Oh, yes.
All of those actors were so good to me and so helpful. And, you know, it was really, that part of it was absolutely thrilling.
It must
I learned so much from Hitch about making a motion picture. He had me sit in on meetings with every department, every phase of making a motion picture, of which he was very much involved in every phase.
Did he do a lot of takes?
No, he did not. Which incidentally spoiled me a lot because the director knew what he wanted. And I think if I ever was working with a director who was doing 10 and 12 or 20 takes, I'd just say, please excuse me when you figure out what you want, call me back, you know. But, no, Hitch was wonderful. Very often it would be the first take that he would print and very often say, well, let's just do one more for insurance. That kind of thing. So he was pretty amazing.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, did he not find you? Weren't you working as a model in a commercial on the Today Show?
Oh, I was. Actually, it was a commercial that was running on the Today Show.
Yeah.
And I had been modeling in New York. I was with Eileen Ford, you know, the fashion.
Right.
And to all the fashion books and that sort of thing. I was too small to do high fashion. I did the junior sizes. And, of course, the television commercials are the best. That's what you all, you know, everybody looks for. Because they are so financially lucrative. And I had about 12 of them running at one time once. And one of them was a pet milk product. It was a diet drink called Seago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I weighed all of 100 pounds when I did it. But it was a sort of a story type of commercial. And it was running on the Today Show every day. And apparently Mr. and Mrs. Hitchcock watched the Today Show. And he became enchanted with the blonde woman in the commercial.
Now, was it your goal? You said you were a model at the time. Was it your goal to be an actress?
Not really. In fact, I was at a stage of my modeling career where I was wondering what I was going to do. I had just moved from New York to Los Angeles so that Melanie, at 3 years old, could have some sort of independence. You know, just like saying, I'm going out to play, Mommy. You certainly can't do that in the streets of New York. And so I had just moved out, and my modeling career did not resume as I expected it to, and I was thinking, oh, wow, what am I going to do, you know? I was handed this silver platter, and uh, uh, this through the grace of God, actually. So I worked very hard to try to be good and to be successful as an actress. I worked very hard at it.
We're talking with actress Tippi Hedren here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. 790-0991 is the number to call. Also, Star Talk and 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa, Hull area, and also the border states. We'll continue with Tippi in just a matter of moments. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Halder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Halder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We are talking with actress Tippi Hedren here on CJAD. Lines free, 790-0991, Star Talk, and 1-800-491-CJAD. The numbers to call. You did not one, but two Hitchcock films back-to-back. You did The Birds and Marnie. And Marnie was with Sean Connery. I like the way you said that. I was going to ask you to describe your leading men, but I think you just did.
There you go.
What was it like working with Rod Taylor and also with Sean Connery?
Oh, they were both terrific. Of course, the absolute opposites. Rod being from Australia and kind of a rowdy guy to, you know, some extent, but fun and you know, consummate actor, as of course is the wonderful, handsome Sean Connery. They were both absolutely fabulous to work with, it was just really good.
So
it really kept me on my toes, though, to keep up with all of these people. You know.
Wait, so you do your first two films with a legendary director in Alfred Hitchcock, and then you do your third film, if I'm not mistaken, directed by Charlie Chaplin.
Yes. It was Charlie's last film. It was the title of it was
The Countess from Hong Kong.
With Marlon Brando and Sophia Loren, and with Charlie directing, of course. And that was amazing too. The film really was where it was Charlie directing, because the way he directed was quite unique. He would act out all of the parts of the actors in the scene. And he'd become Sophia Loren. He'd become me. He'd become Marlon Brando. Well, that didn't go over too well with Marlon Brando.
Why not?
Well, having somebody show him what to do. Oh, my God, no. Didn't work well at all.
Yeah, Marlon's more of a method actor.
Oh, you bet he is. Absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And the best. Absolutely the best. So there was a little friction on the set every now and then, but other than that, it was incredibly wonderful watching Charlie Chaplin work.
I can imagine. First three films out of the gate, so big for a young lady from Minnesota, is it?
Yes.
How does a young lady from Minnesota get to New York to be a Ford model in the first place?
Well, the parents... actually, I started modeling in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got off the streetcar coming home from school, and a woman handed me her card and said, "Would you have your mother bring you down to Donaldson's department store? I'd like to have you model in our fashion shows on Saturday mornings." And that's what started the whole career. I mean, everything.
Hey, you know, you always hear these stories, and I'm sure your young ladies thinking about it today who have dreams of being an actress or being a model or whatever, and you always hear these stories of some total stranger walking up to somebody and handing them a card.
Yeah, it's like it's the hand of God moving in strange ways, you know. But I wanted to be an ice skater. I wanted to be in the Olympics. I wanted to be in the Ice Follies or one of those wonderful ice shows. And
the next Sonia Henie?
Oh, yeah, at least. At least.
Now, the business that you're in is a very difficult one to crack, and not only have you cracked it, but second generation. Your daughter is also an actress.
Oh, and excellent.
Were you very apprehensive at the idea of her becoming an actress? Because she started very young, didn't she?
Well, she started in her teens, you know, when she was 16.
What was it, Drowning Pool?
No, it was Night Moves.
Okay. Okay.
And I was really surprised that she would be interested in it because, you know, the being a film actor is not an easy job. It isn't all Klieg lights and red carpets, you know. It's a lot of very hard work with a tremendous amount of discipline and, you know, I mean, it's a very, very difficult job. And you're talked about as though you're, you know, an inanimate object. Hollywood is very fickle. And it can be a very, very demoralizing career. I was kind of surprised when she decided that she really wanted to do this, and she took it very seriously.
People don't get it when they with how difficult the job can be, do they?
You know, no, but I don't think several of us actors were talking about our career and how few people realize how difficult it is and how much more it is in learning lines and getting in front of a camera. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of study that has to be done, a tremendous amount of preparation that goes into doing the role, and it's very appreciated very little.
No,
and I guess that's our fault.
Yeah. Well, if you make it look easy, then people don't realize how difficult it is, but knowing how difficult it can be and how protective any parent is, were you very apprehensive of your daughter going into this, knowing what the business can do to a person?
Well, I think no matter what business you go in, you can get into a lot of trouble if you don't, you know, if you're not careful, if you don't have the right morals and standards and that sort of thing. So I think, I don't think the acting business is really much different than any others. It may be that it's more publicized.
Yeah. But it's not so much the trouble that one can get into. It's more the rejection and the heartache that people go through in your business on a regular basis.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. Yeah, it's awful. However, I guess it happens in other careers and vocations and everything you do.
Although one thing about the acting profession is, you know, sometimes people can say, well, we don't want you because your work isn't up to par or this is not up to par. But when it comes to acting, they're basically saying, we don't want you.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of stinging.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely.
We are talking with actress Tippi Hedren here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJAD 800. I know you're heavily involved with animals. You mentioned that before. The Roar Foundation Shambhala Preserve near Acton, California. And I want to talk to you about your love for animals. We'll do that on the other side of the news. If anybody has any questions for Tippi, 7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hall area, and also the border states. Before we get to the news, though, I have one brief commercial word that I want to mention here. You know, if there's one thing I hate about advertising, it's how early we seem to have commercials for Christmas. Now that I've got that out of the way, let's talk about Christmas parties, shall we? Planned yours yet? Well, if you're anal retentive like me, you like to plan ahead, and if you want to have your Christmas party at Antico Martini Restaurant, you have to do it now. Antico Martini is a place to be for Christmas parties, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, or that important business lunch featuring a party room for 35 to 65 people. But for Christmas, you have to book now. Antico Martini Restaurant, the finest in Italian dining, 6450 Summerled near Cavendish and NDG. For reservations, call 489-6804.
Now more of CJAD's Halder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991. Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
We are talking with actress Tippi Hedren here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. 1-800-490-0991 is the number to call if you have any questions. Also, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD. Those are the numbers. And I want to get to talk about the animals in just a matter of moments. But before we get to that, we were talking a little bit about the acting business and your daughter's work in acting. And I just wanted to ask you about Hollywood in comparison to when you started and today. And the reason why I bring that up is we know there's been some situations involving your daughter that made the news headlines and made the tabloids that weren't related to acting at all. And I'm just wondering if something like that had happened at a time when you were acting, would there be so much press and people being just basically so nosy? And
No, those things wouldn't have come out in the press because, actually, when I got into the business in 1962, Hollywood was a completely different. A complete overhaul had been made because of the advent of television and how it took over. And the studios were falling apart, and actors were losing their contracts, and it was all of the whole studio system had literally gone away. And during that studio system, the actors were protected from what they did in their private lives, so that it wasn't just out in the open and broadcast. The public relations companies were very busy trying to keep the stars out of the news. And in the 60s, a lot of that changed. People decided, well, I don't care. I'm just going to do what I want to do, and I'll talk about whatever I want to talk about. And, they stopped dressing to go out for dinner and going, everybody started wearing jeans and looking sloppy and, it was kind of a complete switch, complete turnaround. And when my daughter was coming up in her career, everybody talked about whatever they wanted to. Just let their whole lives be talked about and told. That wasn't the way it was prior to my getting into the business, and even when I first started. Your private life was very private, very secluded.
Do you find as a result people and the general population treat actors differently? For instance, when you first started, if someone were to walk up to you or see you while you were out having dinner, sometimes actors don't get a chance to have a private life per se.
No, they don't.
When they're in public,
Melanie and Antonio don't. They rarely go out for dinner because it's just so impossible for them. They can't have a normal conversation. They can't without being stared at or people coming up to them or whatever. And it's that happens to me on occasion too, but it isn't anything like what they go through. But it is difficult. It's really it's not a nice thing to have people feel like they own you.
That's one of the downsides of a Hollywood career that I'm sure a lot of people aren't familiar with or don't realize. Do you find that a lot of times people don't realize it even when they're getting into the business themselves?
Yeah, Peter, I really truly believe that. I think they don't realize how difficult it becomes because it's, after you go through every single day that you go out and people are after you all the time and staring at you and coming up to you and wanting your autograph, and they say, "I never do this," but and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are saying, "Oh, I'd love to be in that position," and that's very possible. And maybe you would for a little while, you can treasure your not being a public figure. You really can.
You're not allowed to have a bad day, are you?
No, you're not. No, you're not. Not a good idea.
But,
because then you're either called a bitch or, nasty or awful person or whatever.
Yeah. But you are off the beaten path. You don't live in the Hollywood spotlight.
No, I don't.
You actually live on a reserve, don't you?
I live on the Shambhala Preserve. Which is did you look at our website?
Yes, which is www.shambhala.org. That's shambhala.org.
Did you see what we're fighting now?
Tell us about that.
With the drought?
Yes.
Did you look at that?
Yes.
And, 30 years ago, I started, giving a home to these big cats. And in 30 years, we have never had our river dry up. We've always had our lake, always. And this year, we've had three years of drought, actually. And the river finally dried up, and the lake dried up with it. And it's just been a nightmare because the animals that we have on the preserve are lions and tigers. And the tigers particularly really need to be near water that they can submerge themselves in, play in. I mean, if you were going to go in search of tiger in the wild, you would go to riverine areas. I mean, this is what they need, and that's what we try to provide for the animals that we give refuge to. And, of course, our elephant has just been miserable without the lake, and so we are the whole drought is adding about $300,000 to our budget of $800,000 every year, and we have to redo an old well, pull up the old pump and the casing, and that doing that was $5,000. And then you have to get the new pump, and that's $20,000. And the generator, because it's three phase, that's another $20,000. And overall, getting the river, trying to get it back. I mean, we're just going through absolute hell.
How did your love affair with the animals begin?
Born with it. I call it a birth affect. And, some of us are born with it. Some of us acquire it later in life or whatever. But it always is, it enhances your life so much.
But not a lot of people have the opportunity to do things about it in such a positive way as you have.
Well, everybody can do something positive, with something that they find an interest in. Everybody can do that. I must say that I'm way off the board on it. It is my passion to find a home for these animals. These animals are all born in the United States. They were all born to be sold as pets. They were either in a circus or some excess zoo animals, but the large amount of them were born in right here in the United States. There's only 19 states, about 34 states have laws, but only 19 of them are stringent about how these animals are to be kept. In most states, it's more difficult to get a license for your dog than it is to have a lion or a tiger living in your backyard.
And how do these animals come to you?
Well, they come from our own state fish and game department, the ASPCA, the Humane Society, just general citizens who find that they have made the mistake of purchasing a wild animal as a pet and find out that it isn't a good pet. And generally, it takes for the animals about 6 or 7 months to start destroying their house and taking a good little chunk out of them. And unfortunately, these animals are hurting little children. They look at little children as prey.
Well, who's giving these animals as pets in the first place? I mean, what are they thinking?
Well, it's all based on greed. It's based on money. The exotic animal trade is second only to the drug trade.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That isn't commonly known. And there are anywhere from 25,000 to 50,000 wild animals living in people's backyards. It's it's very hard to get a number on them because they can be hidden.
Well, we did a story on our program a couple of months ago, I guess, where we were talking about somebody was looking at buying a house and they found, was it a hippo in the backyard? I'm thinking, how do you hide a hippo?
Not easily. And that's one of the most dangerous animals in the world.
Exactly.
In the world.
And apparently this thing had been in captivity in this person's backyard for years. And I'm thinking, wouldn't the neighbors know?
But you think so? Because they emit some sounds that are absolutely incredible.
Exactly.
And very big sounds. Oh, my. Oh, my.
So the...
Anyway, I've been working on trying to get a bill passed in Washington for over 6 years now to regulate ownership of these animals. And... just so people would have to have a permit, a license. They'd have to have a facility that's bigger than an 8x10 cage with a perimeter fencing around it, which so little arms and little hands can't stick their fingers through to pet the tiger or the lion or the leopard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the owners would have to have an education in what that animal needs. Should they have a veterinarian who knows how to take care of these animals? And outside the city limits.
Well, this brings up another question, and that is, do you think animals of this type that are normally found in the wild should even be in captivity?
I don't think they should at all. They are going to be. And when people say to me, what do you feel about circus? I mean, about zoos, I say, well, look, the zoos are going to be here. I mean, they are going to be here, and it's important that they're here. But if we don't support them, they aren't going to get better. They aren't going to have better people qualified to take care of the animal. But these are the places that should be having the animals so that they can be the breeding lines can be remain pure, and there can be some sense to it. These animals are not pets. You can never take the instincts away from them. And when they become possessive over anything, whether it's their food, and they're almost always possessive over their food, or it could be another animal, it could be your camera case, my sweater, a clump of grass, your little child, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there is basically nothing you can do to stop those motions once they go into action.
Now, how many animals do you have in your reserve?
We always have between 58 and 60. We could take more lion because lions can live together. And we have very, very big areas that they live in. It's really beautiful. And I've been admonished by a number of organizations that I won't break them up and make small cages out of them because they're not cages. And I won't do it because I see no purpose in taking an animal out of a miserable situation, putting it into another one.
Uh-huh.
So all we can handle are 60 animals, and we take on a 20-year commitment with each one. And the stories of where they come from, one little lion was living in a basement outside of Branson, Missouri. Another little lion was walking down the streets of Kirksville, Missouri, all by himself. Another lion abandoned in a mechanic's yard in Yonkers, New York.
In Yonkers?
Yonkers, New York. A little leopard was abandoned in a garage in the bitter cold months of February in Wyoming. All four of her pads on her feet were frostbitten. She lost 4 inches off her tail. She had intestinal problems. She was undernourished. One angry little girl when she got here. And I understand the woman, the wife of the man, the animal trader, she turned him in for abandoning the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent a year and then in jail and was fined very heavily, which was a good thing. But there's just one story after another. There's a wonderful little liger who was born in New York, found his way somehow to a private zoo in Illinois, And the zoo ran out of money, and they had to find homes for all of the animals. But apparently, Patrick, who is a liger, he's half lion and half tiger, was living in such a small cage, he could only take three steps one way and three steps the other way. And when he came to us, he was 7 years old, and while he was in quarantine, which they all are for a month so that we can make sure they're not bringing in any illnesses or diseases to be transferred to the other animals, the veterinarian checks them and said, oh, Tippy, he's so lucky he's here. His hindquarters are losing muscle tone. He really would have atrophied. He would have been crippled had he been in there. But one of the nicest things we do for these animals here is we move them around so they don't get bored. And it's really, you know, it's so good to see. We have one tiger who came in from Guam, and her hip bones were all broken, and she was just pulling herself along with her front legs. And the veterinarian up in Paso Robles fixed her little bones and gave her a really good diet. And we see her up in one of the trees out in the far limb, and it's so beautiful, and that's why we're here. Give these animals a good home.
We're talking with actress Tippi Hedren here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. You mentioned the website, which is www.shambala.org. That's S-H-A-M-B-A-L-A, rather. And you mentioned the problem with the drought. People who are listening, how can they help if they want to?
Well, donations, which are all tax deductible, are invaluable, and it doesn't matter how much, whether it's a dollar or whether it's $1 million. Million would help a lot. But any kind of donation, because as you know, when you start saving money, you can start out with just a little bit, and pretty soon you've got a lot, and that makes it's every bit helps.
That website again is www.shambala.org, S-H-A-M-B-A-L-A. We are talking with actress Tippi Hedren here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. Less than 10 minutes to go with Tippi. 7900-991, the number to call.
Now more of CJAD's Halder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
It's 12! Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. We're talking with actress Tippi Hedren. And Tippi, you spend a lot of time working with the animals, and that's a passion for you, but you still find the time to keep busy as an actress. I understand
Peter, we were talking about making tax-deductible donations.
Right.
And, you know, I would venture to say that many of your audience out there are saying, well, if she's in the movies, she's rich. You know, but I do want you to know that I, even when we made our movie Roar, I was, which is about the animals and how we got started in the first place, I never took a salary. I kept putting the money back into the production, like as you do it as a producer.
Right.
I've never been paid as director of the Shambala Preserve or as president of the Roar Foundation. And 7 years ago, I gave or donated all of the property to the foundation, so the animals will always be safe. And I write out a check whenever I have to keep these animals here. So it is operated not only on the donation of everyone, but my own also.
Okay, I understand. As I was saying, you do still find the time to act. I understand you have not one, not two, but three films.
Yeah,
coming up.
Yes, I do. I'm really thrilled. The one that I'm starting one in October 15th, which is, I read the script and I said, I have got to do this. This is so far. The storyline is so crazy. It's just absolutely off the wall. There is a machine that can make diamonds out of human remains. You know, when you're cremated,
mm-hmm.
and you get down to carbon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you become.
Right.
That's what diamonds are made out of. And when I read the script, I thought it was all just, you know, somebody's imagination. And 3 weeks ago on the Today Show, the man who is involved with this procedure was on television talking about it. And I play this very nasty, terrible woman who is wearing diamonds from Six Husbands.
Ooh.
So it's going to be fun. What? And there's another one called Jules and Jim, and that's a very, very beautiful love story. And there's another one about Dark Wolf. And in that one, I play a 900-year-old woman.
What do you look for in a role?
Well, that's what I wrote. What are I what?
What do you look for in a role?
Something unique, something different, something challenging, uplifting, different. You know, I'm rather enjoying doing comedy. I've done a number of comedies lately in short films and have won, and I'm patting myself on the back and won Best Actress for all three. So that's kind of nice. One is called Mulligans. It's about two golf widows who have an agenda. And it's very funny. And the other one is Tea with Grandma. And you know, might not want to accept an invitation for tea with his grandma.
Okay.
And the other one is sort of a romantic kind of thought and philosophy. And that's called Ice Cream Sundae.
I know you have worked with your daughter before, but would you like to work with Melanie again?
Oh, sure I would. Sure, I absolutely would. Yeah, I'm reading a book right now about a mother and a daughter, but it's just kind of a terrible story, you know, and I don't know whether I want to do that. Kind of sad.
Well, we look forward to seeing you in whatever it is you want to do. A lot of fans out there, and you've had an amazing career, and it's far from over.
Well, I hope.
And so we look forward.
Yeah, I need to work, so I hope it's not over.
Exactly.
These animals are not cheap.
Exactly. We should mention.
But I wish you would, when you come out to the coast, please call me and let me know so that I can introduce you to these beautiful animals.
I'd like that.
And your audience as well. Just call us and look us up on the website and call us. And we are open one weekend a month on a reservation basis with a small donation. And it's a wonderful 3-hour planned afternoon, and we have memberships and Adopt a Wild One program where you become a wild parent for your wild one. And we have an excellent program with the Unified School District called Partners in Education. And it's, you know, there's a lot going on here.
Again, the website is www.shambhala.org. Where did the name come from, by the way?
Shambhala is a Sanskrit word. Means a meeting place of peace and harmony for all beings, animal and human. Ah, let's have our world turn out like that.
Absolutely. It certainly is the perfect word. Shambhala.org, shambhala.org. Tippi, I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us this evening.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Peter, and come see us.
Okay.
Okay.
News is next here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.